I'm going to reread our gospel for today, since we have been doing several things since then. We are in John 10. We are talking about how to hear the voice of God. And in John 10, Jesus gives us, I think, the best teaching, the best metaphor on how to do that, how to hear his voice. And you can follow along if you want. We're in John 10, verses 2 through 5. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's talking about himself there. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. My sheep know my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Jesus here promises us that we, as his sheep, can hear his voice. God is speaking to us. He is speaking to all of us constantly. And all of us, all of his sheep, all of his people, his children, can learn how to hear the voice of their shepherd. All sheep know how to hear the voice of their shepherd. And that is a very comforting thing for us because sheep are dumb. Like, sheep are actually really stupid animals. This church has a little bit of an advantage over most churches in the country in that most of us have been around herding animals at some point in our lives. Maybe you don't realize this, but most Christians in America have never seen a sheep, like with their own eyes before, for real. I've given this talk in a lot of different countries and a lot of different states and places, and a lot of times you really have to explain absolutely everything about Jesus' metaphor here because they have no idea what sheep are like or what they look like other than apparently you can buy a sweater made out of them, and that's pretty much the extent of which they know sheep. I think that when Jesus gave this teaching, a shepherd had just walked by with some sheep. That's what I presume, because that's how Jesus usually did things. He was very earthy and natural and everyday about his teachings and what he talked about with his disciples and with the other people. So I think either there was a shepherd walking by with sheep, or Jesus planned this in advance and literally took them to a place where there would be a shepherd and sheep so that he could talk about this and explain what he meant. Because Jesus thinks it's very important that we learn how to hear his voice. Now, those of you who have been around sheep know that this is not the nicest metaphor because sheep are dumb. Sheep are actually really dumb animals. There's only one way in which sheep are not dumb, and that is what sociologists might call emotional intelligence, in that sheep are very good at learning to recognize voices, learning to recognize faces. Sheep can even learn their own name and come when you call them, sort of like a dog can. But that's the recognition of voices and faces is really the only way in which sheep are smart. And if you notice in this passage, Jesus talks about those things. My sheep recognize my voice, right? That's what he says. Beyond that, sheep are dumb. Sheep will run around in a big flock. And if they don't have a shepherd to watch them, and if there's, let's say, a hill or a cliff, if the sheep who are in front are running along and don't notice and fall off the cliff, all the other sheep will go after it and go right off that cliff. They'll just be like, I guess we're doing this now. Let's go over this cliff. They're dumb. Thunderously stupid. I can't convey how stupid sheep are to you. I was told this by someone who used to be a shepherd. He said that if a sheep, pretend I'm a sheep, gets its hoof caught in its wool, like it's scratching itself, if it gets its hoof caught in its wool, it freezes. It does nothing. It won't even bend down its little sheep head to eat grass. It'll just stand there until it dies. For real. In that little stupid sheep brain, it's thinking, something happened. I don't have enough legs now. I don't know what to do. I guess this is it. I'm just going to die. And it'll just stand there and die. For real. Sheep are not smart animals. And yet, Jesus says that even sheep learn how to hear the voice of their shepherd. This is good news for us. Because if sheep can learn how to hear the voice of their shepherd, so can we. Amen? Sheep are dumb. The smartest sheep in the entire world, the Einstein of the sheep world, okay, sheep and Hawking, is nowhere near as smart as the least intelligent person in this room. Okay? Nowhere near as smart. Sheep are dumb. And yet, sheep can learn how to hear the voice of their shepherd. There is nothing keeping all of us from learning how to hear the voice of God, learning how to recognize the voice of God, and learning how to discern the difference between the voice of Jesus and another voice, a stranger's voice. How many know that these days there are a lot of other voices out there, right? There are a lot of other voices even within Christianity these days, and not all of them are Jesus. Some of those voices are speaking out of fear and out of hopelessness and out of other things in reaction to the things that are going on in this country. And so we need to learn how to recognize the voice of Jesus, because that is the only voice that we can follow. Amen? I read a great story once by a pastor who went to visit Israel to pray in the different places that Jesus prayed in the New Testament. And I thought that was really cool, and hopefully I get to go someday to Israel. And so he was on one of the mounts, and he was praying, and there was a well kind of at the foot of one of the hills. And while he was praying, a shepherd came up to the well with his flock of sheep. And he's like, oh, this is so Bible-y. I think this is great. This is great. And then pretty soon another shepherd came up with his sheep, and then a third shepherd came up with his sheep. And now you've got hundreds of sheep, and they're all mixing together. And this pastor who's watching this is like, wow, these shepherds aren't very smart. This is going to be a nightmare to separate out these sheep. And so he's like, I got to stay, and I got to see what happens. So he watches, and the shepherds are hanging out. They're talking. They're eating their MLTs, mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Sheep are dumb. They don't notice, okay? Where's Roger? I don't know. And so after the shepherds are done with lunch, they just stand up, and each of them goes off in their own direction. And after 10 or 20 feet, they start singing a song. And they just leave. They just walk away. And as soon as the shepherds start singing, all the sheep pop up their stupid little sheep heads, and they start bounding off after their own shepherd. Not a single sheep followed the wrong guy. They all followed the right person. The shepherd wasn't coaxing them. He wasn't poking them. He wasn't yanking them. He literally left singing a song. But the sheep heard their shepherd's voice, and they followed him. And when I read that in the book, I'm like, wow, this is a great example for the talk I'm going to give. Because Jesus says exactly that. He's like, my own sheep recognize my voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's exactly what Jesus said. And that's what we get to do, is we get to follow the voice of our shepherd, and we get to follow where he leads us. And no matter how lousy we think we are at hearing the voice of God, I've talked to people who said, I've been a Christian 30 years, I've never heard God speak to me. But you know what? Jesus promises us that we can learn how to hear the voice of God. If a sheep can do it, you definitely can do it. And we're going to get back to that in a little bit. So that's the intro. I gave this talk a couple weeks ago in the cities. And I'm like, so that's the intro. What do you think? And one of the guys goes, it's not bad. It took me a full minute to like find my place in my notes because I was so thrown by that. Okay. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about how to hear the voice of God. The shepherd metaphor is, I think, the bedrock for all of that. And we're going to go over what are some of the reasons that we don't hear God speak to us as often as we like, or that we don't perceive God is speaking to us as often as we like. We're going to talk about those and talk about how can we switch that? How can we fix the problems that we have in hearing the voice of God? And so we're going to go through those different things. I'm going to need you to pay attention with your brain this morning. Some of this will be review. Some of you could teach this sermon. And for others, it might be a little bit new. But we're going to go through these different reasons we don't hear God speak. And the first one is this. Our relationship with God is very complex because God wants to relate to us in many different ways. But most of us are only used to listening to God in one of those ways. I wrote it. Don't worry, it's not artwork. You don't have to pretend to like it. It's instead my beautiful handwriting. Can anybody see that? All right. These are scripturally, I think, the five primary ways in which God wants to relate to us. God relates to us in all of these ways. He is all of these things to us all of the time. Okay? So he is Almighty God. That is where we get the fear of the Lord aspect, the creator of the universe, the God whom we worship and adore. That's our primary response to Almighty God. Father, that one's what Pastor Emery talked about last week, right? Our relationship with God as Father. Friend, this one is incredible and hard to believe in a way, that God wants to be our friend. But Jesus said, I've no longer called you servants, but friends. For a master doesn't tell his servant what he's planning to do. But that's what I do with you. So you're my friends. The fourth one, lover. This is one that I think most of us have a tough time with, partly because of the way we were raised and partly because it's just hard to understand. But God as our lover is one of the primary ways in which God describes himself in the Bible. We are the bride of Christ, right? And so this is one that a lot of us probably haven't really looked into that much. And finally, he is our master. He is our Lord. Okay, he's our boss, our commander-in-chief, our general. He gives us orders, we salute, we obey, right? God is all of these things all of the time for us. And so that's pretty complex, right? It's complex. And it's hard sometimes to perceive what God is saying because many times we only relate to God in one or two of these aspects. A lot of us maybe have never related to God in all of these different ways. Most Christians haven't. Most Christians naturally gravitate towards one thing or another. Let's say for you, it's Almighty God. You love to worship the Lord. That makes sense to you. That's how you connect with God, is through worship. And so because this is how you relate to God, that's also how you listen to God. Because you're his worshiper. He is Almighty God. And so when you want God to speak to you, you listen for Almighty God. But if you're listening for this, you might not be listening for the others. Does that make sense? Think of it like a radio, okay? Most of you are old enough to know what a radio is. Macy, it's how we used to listen to music before we had MP3s. So think about a radio. Now, all the radio stations on the radio are playing all the time, right? But you're only going to hear the station that you've tuned into. Does that make sense? And so I'm not going to hear the news if I'm listening to the Twins game, okay, and vice versa. You can only listen to what you're tuned into. And most of us tend to relate to God in one or maybe two of these ways. And we're only going to hear the Lord speak in the way that we are tuned into him, the way that we are listening to him. And so if our radio is stuck on one station, or maybe two, like it is with a lot of us, then we're not going to hear God in the other areas. Let's say we're really good at understanding God as our master. We're his servant, he's our Lord. And that's the way we primarily relate to God, and that's the way we primarily listen for the voice of the Lord. But if our frequency, if our radio is stuck here, and we only listen to God as our Lord, then we're missing 4 out of the 5, so we're missing 80% of what God's trying to say to us. I promise that's the extent of the math for this morning, okay? Now, I don't want to miss 80% of what God's saying to me. Amen? I want to hear everything that he's trying to say. And so it's important for us to learn how to listen to God and relate to God in the different ways that he wants to relate to us. And so we don't hear God oftentimes because we're not tuned to the right frequency. We don't hear God because we're not listening to God in the right way. And it's important to know which way that God is relating to us right now. Throughout our lives, God is going to relate to all of you in all of these ways. That's what he desires, is for you to know him in all of these ways. There might be seasons in your life where he emphasizes one or maybe two of them because he really wants you to understand and really get that aspect of your relationship with him. And so how do we fix this? How do we get better at tuning our radio, so to speak, at these different levels? Well, primarily it just happens over time as we grow in our relationship with God. As we grow in our relationship with God, and we actively try to relate to him in the different ways that the Bible talks about, we get to know God better as friend. What does it mean that Jesus is my buddy? For some people, that seems very strange. For some people, that's the only Jesus they know. And so when the Lord comes up to them and gives them a command, they find that strange. Because they're used to talking with their buddy, and here their buddy's giving them an order that he expects them to obey now. And so learning, Lord, how are you trying to relate to me today? How are you trying to relate to me right now? Who are you being for me right now? Is very important when it comes to discerning what it is Jesus says. Because if Jesus If you think Jesus is saying something to you as your friend, but he's actually saying something to you as your commander-in-chief, there could be a little issue there, right? Because as a friend, you might say, oh, that's cool. But if your boss gives you an order, he expects you to do it, right? If God gives you a command, he expects you to obey. And so it's important to try to figure out, Lord, how are you relating to me right now? What aspect of our relationship is happening now? How do I need to listen? How do I need to respond? So this is pretty complex, right? It's pretty complex. This could be a whole sermon series in and of itself. And so we don't hear because we often don't tune in to the right frequency, the right way in which God wants to speak to us. And so we can get better at that simply by growing in these aspects and by saying, Lord, how do you want to be for me? Who do you want to be for me right now? Here's another thing to consider about this. There are basically two types of relationships, two reasons we communicate with each other. In your workplace, in a business relationship, the primary reason that you communicate is information, to pass information back and forth. That's the primary reason you communicate with other people. You have to give your boss some information. They do something with that information. They give you more information. They give you an order. They give that guy information. You collaborate with other people, et cetera, right? In a business relationship, the main reason you communicate is for information in and of itself. But in a personal relationship, the main reason you communicate isn't for information. It's for intimacy. It's to grow closer to the other person. So when you are communicating with a friend, it's because you want to hang out with them. You like your friend. You want to get to know them better. You want to have a good time. You want to bless them, right? That's why you talk to a friend. That's why you communicate to a friend. Information might be passed back and forth, but the primary reason that you communicate in a personal relationship is to build the relationship, to build intimacy. But in a business relationship, the primary reason you communicate is just to give information back and forth so that you can get a job done. Does that make sense? All right, now let's look at these five relationships, these five aspects of our relationship with God. Almighty God, I'd call that a personal relationship. He's our God, we worship him. Father, that's obviously a pretty personal relationship, right? Not a business relationship. Friend, personal relationship, not a business relationship. Lover, personal relationship, right? Not a business relationship. Master, I'd call that one a business relationship, okay? He's our master, he's our Lord, he's our boss. And we respond to him by obeying, right? And so I would say that this aspect is sort of a business relationship. This is the sense in which God gives us information, tasks, orders, we follow them. Maybe we dialogue back and forth a little bit with extra information, but the main reason God speaks to us as our Lord and Master is to give us information so that we can partner in serving him and in changing this world. But these other four relationships, these are all personal in nature. And so the primary reason God speaks to us in these relationships isn't just to give us information, it's to build the relationship so we grow closer to him. And here's the problem. As I've talked to Christians about this all over the place, and I ask them, what's the main reason you talk to God? What do you say? What do you listen for? And how does God communicate to you? The primary, by far, the primary way most Christians communicate to God is in this relationship. Most Christians, when they talk to God, when they listen to God, are seeking information. And that's it. They want information about how to serve the Lord because they want to serve God. God, tell me what to do so I can do it. They want information about their future and their lives and what it is that they can do in order to fulfill God's will for them. Most Christians, in their communication with God, they are seeking primarily information. And so they're turning it into solely a business relationship. Whereas God is primarily interested, 80% wise, more math, sorry, in a personal relationship with us. Most of the ways in which God relates to us are personal. They're not for the purpose of giving us information. He communicates with us for the purpose of building our relationship with him. In other words, most of what God says to you is personal. Most of what God says to you is about you and about him and about your relationship with one another. Okay? Most of what God says to you is about you and him and your relationship with each other. It's not about information so that you can go be a better servant. We all want to be a better servant. I'm not saying don't communicate with God in this aspect. Not at all. Keep doing it. Keep asking God to give you orders. Keep following them. Keep being a good servant. That's great. But God is more concerned with having a personal relationship with you than being a business partner with you. Amen? We know that. That's pretty clear in Scripture. And because that's true, most of what God wants to say to you is personal. It's for the purpose of intimacy, for the purpose of drawing you closer to him, of building the relationship that the two of you have. Just like it is when you talk to your spouse or your mom or your friend. You're not trying to grill them for information so that you can go do a task, right? Finding out more information about a person doesn't necessarily mean you know them any better, okay? I could ask Wayne, what are three things you did yesterday? He could tell me those three things, but that wouldn't help me know him any better. I would know some stuff about him, but I wouldn't really know him any better. I know stuff about Abraham Lincoln. I read a book about Abraham Lincoln once. I've never met Abraham Lincoln, so I do not know the man. I had a time machine for a brief period, but I didn't get to go see him. It's a long story. But I do not know Abraham Lincoln. Even though I know information about him, I read a book about him, I know about him. A lot of us know about God. We know a lot of things about God, but that isn't the same as knowing God better. Does that make sense? Okay? Knowing about someone is good. Studying about God is good. It does help our relationship with him. But it's only one aspect. God wants to relate to us personally, intimately. He wants to speak to us. And most of what he wants to say is about you and about him and how you two can get closer and how you two can relate together. And so, one of the main reasons we don't hear God speak is because we're listening for information as opposed to listening for personal communication. Does that make sense? So we're listening for the wrong stuff. We're listening for this, and he wants to speak to us in all of these areas. And so that's why we don't hear him. God isn't Google, right? He's not primarily interested in answering our questions and giving us information. He wants to draw closer with us and be a part of that personal relationship. One of the best ways that we can learn how to hear God better, and we're going to talk about these in the next couple weeks as well, one of the best ways that we learn how to hear God better is, believe it or not, to listen to him. Another one of the big reasons that we don't hear God speak is because we never listen. We're like my kids. They never listen when I'm trying to talk to them, right? Most of you have experienced that if you're parents or grandparents. We, especially as Americans, we are so busy, we are so active all the time that we never stop to listen. If we look through the Bible, especially the Psalms, David is always talking about the quiet place, how God speaks to us in the stillness, in the silence. But most of us never bother to get silent. We never bother to get still and quiet before the Lord. And so it's going to be pretty hard to listen because God typically doesn't shout at us. Once in a while he will. If we're really in danger, if we're about to run into the street and there's a car coming, he might shout at us, okay, like we would with our kids. But most of the time, God is speaking gently and he's speaking quietly because he wants us to come close enough for us to hear him. That's his goal, is to come close enough for us to hear him speak. But if we never bother to do that, we're not going to hear him speak. That's pretty obvious, right? And yet, how often do I not bother to do that? How often do we not spend some time in quiet, simply listening, or better yet, simply being in the presence of God? So I'm going to take advantage of the fact that you're a captive audience, and we're going to take 2 minutes to just be silent in the presence of the Lord right now. I can guarantee you your mind is going to wander. At some point, that's okay. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? One of my favorite teachers is Graham Cook, and he says, when you're praying, if your mind wanders, just wander after it. Bring it back. It's not that big of a deal. Don't worry. Okay? So we're going to take 2 minutes. That's not a very long time. We're going to take 2 minutes to just sit in the presence of God and to just be. Don't talk. Don't pray. If it helps, you can visualize one of these aspects of your relationship. I very often, when I'm doing this, will focus on the father relationship and I crawl up into daddy's lap. And that's how I visualize spending this time with the Lord. But whatever works for you in this context, let's try that. I'm going to open us up with a real brief prayer, and let's spend 2 minutes in the presence of God without an agenda and without any plan, just to spend time with God for God's sake, because he deserves that from us. So please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you desire, above all else, to have a closer personal relationship with us. We thank you that you speak to us and that you want us to learn how to hear your voice. And so, Lord, we come to you now, our shepherd, simply to spend time in your presence for the next couple of minutes. So how does a sheep learn how to hear the voice of their shepherd? Jesus promised us his sheep will hear his voice. So how does a sheep learn how to hear the voice of their shepherd? Do they take a class on the grammar, phonology, and syntax of the shepherd's language so that they could better understand it? No. Do they read a book on 7 easy steps to hearing your shepherd's voice? No. Do they study the mathematical frequency of the pitch at which the shepherd speaks so that they can recognize that exact pitch versus another shepherd? No. They're stupid. They can't do any of that. So how does a sheep learn how to hear the voice of their shepherd? They're with him all the time. That's it. It's not rocket science. It is literally the easiest thing in the world. A sheep is simply with their shepherd. They spend time with their shepherd all day. They spend time with their shepherd. And by doing that, they accidentally learn how to hear their shepherd's voice. They don't have to strive at it. They don't have to work really hard at it. They learn how to hear the voice of their shepherd simply on accident, by being in the presence of their shepherd all the time. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. We need to spend more time with him. We need to spend more time in his presence. More time doing what we just did for a couple minutes here and there throughout the day. Just quiet ourselves and listen and be a sheep in the presence of our shepherd. And the more we do that, the more we spend time with the Lord, the better we are going to get at hearing his voice. And we're going to talk about some more of these things over the next couple weeks. So let's end in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are a good shepherd. We thank you that you don't beat your sheep, but that you lead them lovingly. And we thank you so much that you are willing to allow us to learn how to hear your voice and that you're willing to speak to us, even me, even us. Who are we that you should be mindful of us? And yet you are. You would be willing to leave the 99 to go after the one who was lost. Lord Jesus, you love each one of us, and you want to speak to each of us to bring us closer to yourself and to build that intimate personal relationship with us. We thank you for that, and we pray that you would allow us to carve out a little bit of our time each day to spend listening to you and to spend in your presence. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.